Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's a ton of Cowboys content on ProFootballTalk.com. Mike Florio runs it. He joins us now in the home of America's team on the BuyerSafety.com hotline with Sean and RJ. Mike, what do you think of Jerry and Stephen Jones' strategy in trying to get these guys to accept some lesser deals?
Well, I think that what the Cowboys are trying to do, they're trying to duplicate exactly what's gone on in New England over the past generation, where the Patriots have had a collection of guys who have consistently taken less, allowing them not only to hold together a nucleus of talented starters, but also to have enough cap space left over so that you have backups who are making a very good wage and are more talented than an undrafted free agent who gets thrown into the mix when the starting left guard breaks his leg, and you've got to just hope that this guy can step up and get it done. The Patriots have benefited from having that extra cap space for those backups that they have faith in. And the Cowboys, now that they have put together the best team from a talent standpoint that they've had since the early 90s, and remember, when the Cowboys were winning their first few Super Bowls, that was when free agency was getting started, and there were teams out there that took glee in being able to rip away Cowboys players who became free agents to try to diminish the Cowboys. So the challenge is, once you get a good team, holding that team together, and the Cowboys think that they can impose the Patriot way on their locker room simply by force of will, and they can't. They have to accept that they can't do it. So their options are very simple. Be like the Vikings have been in recent years, where you pay a bunch of guys market value and you go with backups that may or may not pan out, or you got to let some guys go. You got to trade some guys. You got to let some guys walk in free agency. You can't keep everybody, but you're not going to make the Patriot way work. And I really believe deep down, all of these statements we've seen this week from Jerry and from Steven, they're aimed at trying to force these guys verbally into adopting and adapting to the Patriot way.
Who do you think wins these standoffs, Mike, between Dak, Zeke, and the team?
Well, I don't know. What's a victory? At the end of the day, it's going to be painted as a win-win, because once these deals are done, the team's going to go forward arm-in-arm with the player and everything's going to be fine and let's go win some football games. But, I don't know how to judge victory on that basis. And I don't know that there's room for a win-win. I mean, these are very starkly different positions. Ezekiel Elliott wants to be the highest-paid running back in the NFL. The Cowboys don't want to make him the highest-paid running back in the NFL. Dak Prescott wants a contract above and beyond what the Cowboys are willing to pay. And, you know, it's each one is different. And I could see each one working out very differently. But right now I feel like the Cowboys, before they can get these things worked out, they have to accept the fact that they're not going to get these guys to say, okay, I'll take less, I'll take one for the team, team comes first, I'm going to set aside my own personal agenda and objectives and take less. So I think nothing happens until the Cowboys accept the fact that they're not going to get these guys to do below market deals.
Is that the, you know, because there's two sides to this. I mean, you're either on the player's side where it's just get the most money, or the team side. But at the end of the day, is it not the team's job to figure out how to manage the cap, and it's the agent's job to figure out how to get the most money for their client? And why the discrepancy here on fans and what they want?
Well, absolutely. I mean, Peyton Manning and Darrell Revis were masters of that attitude, that it's not my job to manage the cap, it's your job to manage the cap, it's my job to get paid. And when Steven the other day tried to kind of insinuate himself between the players and their agents and suggesting that the agents don't have the players' best interest in mind and we do, I mean, we know that's baloney. The teams only have their interest in mind. They don't care about the players, especially once the players can't win for them. Then they move on to the next players. And it's all about team, team, team. And this is just a very clumsy and clunky effort by the organization, I believe, to try to force these guys to take less, however they can. And maybe after they exhaust all avenues and realize that not everyone's going to do a Jalen Smith deal, because Jalen Smith was in a very different situation because he was never going to get a big payday, and he had that top five draft status taken from him with the torn ACL he suffered 2 years day of 2016, that's a unique situation. You are going to have guys like that who will do team-friendly deals, but Ezekiel Elliott isn't going to. Dak Prescott isn't going to. And Amari Cooper's the one we never talk about, because hell, he's making $14 million this year. He's got nothing to complain about. And the problem next year becomes, how do you turn his franchise tag into a long-term contract, if they even have the franchise tag available to use on him? Because I think this thing with Dak is heading toward a possible Kirk Cousins franchise tag, walk away as a free agent.
Oh, that's my dream. You're making me happy on a Friday morning.
Why? You want Dak to go, or you want the Cowboys to be proven that they overplayed their hand?
I want to see more evidence from Dak. Like, if they give him $35 million, they're going to need to replace me on this show, because I'll jump from this 11th floor. That's ridiculous.
We had a conversation, though, about new money and total value with signing, and I think that we'd all agree at this point that Dak Prescott deserves at least what Jimmy Garoppolo got. And what Jimmy Garoppolo got was 5 years, $27.5 million. And if they would give Dak that contract right now, it would be characterized as a deal with new money value of $34 million a year, which makes people say, holy crap, right? But still, it's Jimmy Garoppolo's deal. And hell, Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't earned Jimmy Garoppolo's deal, but I think Dak Prescott has. And and look at how the market has changed so dramatically since Dak Prescott entered the league as a fourth-round draft pick. Andrew Luck was the highest paid player at 24.5. Then it goes to 25 with Derek Carr, then 27 with Matthew Stafford, 27.5 Garoppolo, 28 Cousins, 30 Matt Ryan. It keeps going up and up and up. And Dak Prescott's one of the few that isn't trying to set a new high watermark. He wants to land somewhere between Ryan and Russell Wilson currently at 35. And, you know, look, here's the other side of this that we lose sight of. The salary cap keeps going up every year. And the thinking is, when the new TV deals are done, it's going to go up significantly. So the money is always going to be there. The cap space is always going to be there. The question becomes, do the Cowboys want to hold enough cap space back to have protection on the second string when the injuries inevitably happen? Or are they willing to just go ahead and pay the guys market value, pay as many as they need to, and then hope that they can draft and develop young guys who'll be available to play when those injuries happen? That's what this is all about. And that's what, you know, the Patriots have been able to pull both sides together by having the great backups and by having the great starters who aren't consuming all of the cap space.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com. Why can't the Cowboys force Zeke into taking more of a team-friendly deal by saying, hey, you're going to miss game checks. We're not going to give in to you. You can go ahead and miss game checks, which very few guys do.
Well, I mean, very few guys do, because very few guys hold out. But once a guy is committed to holding out, the question is, how long can he go? And for Zeke, you know, and I don't know if we've talked about this. I don't know if you guys have walked on to this, but the way it works as a practical matter, if he wants credit for this contract year, and if he wants to have only 1 year left before free agency after this season, he needs to show up right around week six, week seven. But that's still, you know, you're missing a nice chunk of game checks that way, and you're limiting your availability to the team this season. But if this is the way that you get the deal you want, and that's what he's trying to do, he's withholding services to get the deal that he wants, and he's willing to give up those game checks if need be. There's a longer-term goal in mind here. And remember, sitting out the whole season will not win him free agency, but sitting out, you know, relatively deep into the season, it puts the pressure on the Cowboys, and it protects him. It allows him to miss six games or more where he's not putting his knees, his ankles, et cetera, at risk, and moves him closer to the payday that he thinks he's earned. And he has earned it. The question is, how much is he going to get? But he's definitely earned more than what he's supposed to make over the next 2 years.
The non-Cowboys story that you are most interested in right now?
Oh, I don't know. There's so much going on. Antonio Brown's kind of died down, but he's having his grievance today on whether or not he gets to wear his helmet of choice for 2019. If he isn't allowed to wear that helmet, what's he going to do? I assume he's just going to grab another helmet, because if he doesn't, he's going to give up $30 million guaranteed. Has the preseason reached critical mass where people realize it needs to be cut in half between the Cam Newton injury last night, the embarrassment in Winnipeg where they played on an 80-yard field. I feel like now that they're negotiating between the NFL and the NFLPA on a new labor deal, now's the time to say, let's cut the preseason in half. Let's do something with the regular season to make up that money. But this is the perfect time to do it because I just don't think this four-game preseason is sustainable. If the starters are going to be in bubble wrap and if those that play are going to get injured, they need to come up with some alternative to four preseason games.
Mike, you mentioned the Winnipeg situation where they played on an 80-yard field last year, the Mexico City game where they had to cancel the game. When is the Player Association just going to say we're not doing this anymore?
Well, but one of the reasons why they make these changes is to respect and you know, the wishes of the Players Association. And I don't know how much the NFLPA is involved when they say we're going to play a game in Winnipeg. But you're right. Maybe they just draw a line in the sand and say, other than the London games, where they've essentially perfected getting the right field in place, and they have, like, for one of the stadiums, they have a separate field that is dedicated to the NFL games that are played there. But, yeah, maybe we say these one-off games elsewhere, no, we're not even going to start down that path because there are too many issues, there are too many problems, and the NFL has proven that they can't get everything buttoned up in time to play those games.
We know you're busy. Thank you for the time. Have a fantastic day and weekend.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com and the BuyerSafety.com hotline. And while Mike is on, I guess the real insiders just walked into the building, breaking from Kevin Turner, who broke the news in training camp about Zeke going to Cabo. Here's KT. Same source tells me Zeke is booked to return from Cabo tomorrow. Another source tells Jonathan Shipman the Cowboys and Zeke were in contact late last night and that a deal could come together over the weekend. Breaking from the Ben and Skin show, who is in the next room prepping, as Mike Florio is right there on the line. Again, Zeke booked to return from Cabo tomorrow, and the Cowboys were in contact with Zeke late last night, and a deal could go down over the weekend. Let's see if we can steal one of these two insiders in studio. Another hour to go on Sean and RJ next.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.